Bring in Jim Harris from Arkansas Sports 360. And Jim, these guys are never very dynamic on the coach's call. They need to start doing those at like 2 in the afternoon because the guys are just waking up clearly. But Nick Saban, I mean, they have a good running back. Come on, man. He's got a script, I think, for every team. They have a good running back. They have a good specialist. Special teams, good. Good, good, good. They're good, good, good. We've got to play our best game, good. Come on, man.
There were no names there. They could interchange that with everything he said.
Exactly. I think he's got a script. Real quick, Jim, before we get into it, on the website, 1037thebuzz.com, what will the Razorbacks' record be at the end of the regular season this year? It was 12.8% said 12-0. 13.7% said 11-1. 20.6%, that's the most, said 10-2. I'm going to guess there is a tweak from that. Not bowl eligible, 11.4% said that. So there were a few people who were doubting Arkansas prior to. The current poll is, in light of recent events, what do you think their record will be? So we'll get the results of that coming up a little bit later. So, Jim, I don't know that there's any reason to rehash the debacle that was, but if you have anything you want to add to what's been said over and over again the last 2 days, I'm all ears.
You know, I think it's all been said, all been trashed out. I think what Saban said, and just hearing that again, he's got to be internally knowing that Arkansas has, you know, a lot of, and it's not, I mean, it isn't just coach. I mean, people are all on this coaching thing. This is the culmination in a lot of ways. When Tyler Wilson went out, I mean, what you had left out there was the culmination of some bad recruiting over about a 3-year period, and it's surfacing. And we kind of warned on that, you know, that, I mean, not everything was great. You can't just sign, you know, a few receivers here and there and you know, one lineman here or there and have it solved in the, I mean, not just in the SEC, but against anybody. And I think that, you know, some of the things I saw the other night with, you know, coverage, I know there were injuries. I know their best defensive back was hurt in the fourth quarter. But, I mean, with coverage, with the lack of linebackers that we've worried about anyway all year, it's all come to the surface.
Jim, I have a question here on the Keithley Service Company Live Fan Feedback, and I think this is a very valid comment here, a question, I guess. And Hank in North Little Rock asks, is it time for a mindset change in Fayetteville? Should we make a change to a more defensive mindset with the next hire? And if we do, how do you think we would do? We'd be heavily recruiting defensive players against the likes of Bama, LSU, Georgia, now A&M. Do you think our recruiting and mindset currently reflects our commitment, our recruitment ability in the SEC? So with the next regime, and certainly there's not much that can be done about it now, do you think they should have more of a defensive mentality? Everybody says the same thing. To win a championship, you have to run the ball, and you have to play defense. And if that's the ultimate goal, does Arkansas need to start thinking in that way?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
I think they need to get a coach in here. I mean, the next coach who's hired needs to be a guy who recruits for the entire team. I don't necessarily think you need to have a guy who just thinks in terms of, I mean, you know, stopping the other team all the time. I mean, I think there's something for Alabama to be said for that. I mean, that's how they play the game. He has a defensive mindset. But I think for Arkansas, I mean, you can go back in its history. You can look at who's been successful at Arkansas as coaches, and pretty much they were offensive-minded coaches. You know, Frank Broyles, Lou Holtz, Ken Hatfield, you know, Bobby Petrino. I mean, they won big amounts of games. But in Petrino's case, he was probably the one coach out of all of them. And I don't want to leave Houston Nutt out either. He was successful at times, and he was an offensive-minded guy.
Right.
But Houston even, I used to criticize his recruiting and think he was missing out on the defensive side, and yet, I mean, I'm convinced today, I mean, as far as recruiting for the whole team, he outdid Petrino by far. I mean, he definitely would recruit across the board better than Petrino did his first 3 years. I think that they came to this past season, I mean, this past recruiting season, and hit the defensive side harder, but it's a little late in the day. Mm-hmm. I mean, for this team.
So do you think it's just
talent out there?
Do you think it's just he has a difficult time selling these young defensive recruits, or is it just something he's not even here anymore, Coach Petrino,
right.
Or is it something that he just didn't pay attention to? I mean, how can, because I agree with you, like, how can't you not be able to recruit both sides, right? I mean, the same amount, you know, you have your scholarships there, can you step up the recruiting on both sides?
Well, I think what was said about him and what Bruce James said this morning, he's made sure that he signed the best running backs in his area year after year after year. You know, A.J. McCarron may not have the stats that Tyler Wilson's got, but put him on a team like Arkansas, and I'll bet he would. Mm-hmm. He was a 4-star to 5-star, depending on which service you read. He's a heck of a quarterback. I mean, the guy recruited across the board, and that's where Alabama is, especially linemen. I mean, if you want to break this down to the simplest case, look at Arkansas. What does it tell you? I mean, not to knock two kids who work their tails off to play, but Arkansas's got two walk-ons starting in the offensive line. I mean, what does that tell you about offensive line recruiting? They got two walk-ons, and they still block the way they – I mean, as a unit, they block the way they block. A defensive line, I mean, they've beefed some of those guys up to where they – I mean, there were a couple of times the quarterback ran right into Alfred Davis in the game the other night, and Davis couldn't wrap him up. He's so bulky, he's been beefed up so much, he can't wrap up anybody to tackle him. I mean, you know, their problems, you can boil it down in the line and see that they have enough difficulty there that, I mean, depending on the matchups, they're going to have trouble. And if Tyler Wilson's out there, they have a chance. And if he's not out there and they have to go to inexperienced quarterback and they don't have the same receivers they had last year, they're in as much trouble against everybody they play, just like they were against Monroe.
What do you see as a potential win total now? I mean, you know the issues, and maybe we'll have even more of an answer, because the good thing is, no matter what happens, this is going to be the worst it's going to get, at least generally speaking. This is going to be the toughest opponent you're going to play all year long. So I guess at least you can say it's all downhill from here. Are you going to wait until you see the Alabama game to assess, or do you think you have a pretty good feel for what Arkansas can come out of here with from a win standpoint this year? Because, look, there are other schools that are going to play that have limitations too. I mean, Auburn is 1950s football over there. They are pathetic offensively. There are other schools that have issues too. Arkansas is not the only one.
They won. Listen, I don't want to go back, but they won a national championship. Offense, of course, it wasn't a high scoring national championship.
They had an elite defense that year too, though.
Well, but the main thing that
Cam
got
Newton's
them
a freak.
There,
they had a guy that's a freak that comes along once every 30 years.
But when you're talking about Arkansas, though, okay, you're going to have some kind of a situation like that, a scheme, because how are you going to get those guys? There's only so many guys to go around.
How did Auburn get them? I don't know. Same way.
Well, I don't know if you. Yeah, it was a culmination. It was that. You know, you can't keep producing them like Alabama, LSU, even Georgia produces those.
No, you're
big
not going to compete head to head with those guys.
Not every year. It can be the perfect storm when you build towards one.
Yeah, you do need
big
to
year.
Catch, you know, lightning in a bottle, Jim. What?
Well, I don't know. But let me just say about recruiting. Mm-hmm. The safety that played for Monroe is Mitchell Lane from Watson Chapel, and I thought he was the best safety on the field. I mean, he was from Watson Chapel Pine Bluff, Arkansas.
Yeah, I mean, there have been guys that have been missed on without a doubt, and I don't know how the recruiting services work. Recruiting's always a weird thing, although I would say that LSU and Alabama seem to never miss in that regard. It's weird that way. But
Well, they just sign enough of them that they're 4 and 5 stars. I mean, if there are misses, they're made up for by the other four or five stars they signed.
Well, it's like, yeah, look, I watch a guy who plays every Saturday in Conway that I know could start for Arkansas right now. He'd be maybe the best defensive back they'd have on the field, and I don't care what anybody says. I watch the kid play. I can tell you from a physicality and an anticipation standpoint, Justin Love could start for them right now. So, yeah. I mean, and he's an in-state guy. And, again, I don't know what these guys look like in high school. I don't know how the recruiting services grade them. I don't know what Bobby Petrino wanted. I don't know what his defensive coaches looked at and saw. All I know is I can tell you what I see, and I can tell you that there are certain guys that have been missed on. Certainly, I think we can all agree to that. So,
yeah, I know, and there's only 25 scholarships.
There is that.
Around.
Let's go back to the original question. What do you see as a – what would be a solid victory total for you now when you see the limitations and the issues?
It's all about Tyler Wilson.
Let's assume he's healthy.
Okay. If he doesn't get beat up all season, like, is a very good possibility.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if he plays and doesn't get a concussion again and plays every game, I see him about what I did see, but now it's at, like, I had 8-4 as my preseason pick, and that's how I felt that team was going to be anyway, even if Petrino was coaching.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, and I'm in the paper. You know, I'm in our magazine picking 8-4.
I believe you.
But, I mean, I would think that one of my eights was a win over Monroe. And they win the game over Monroe if Tyler Wilson's out there in the second half.
Do they win the game over Monroe if Petrino's there and Wilson's out?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
It could have been a stunner. I mean, Petrino was lucky to beat Monroe his first season.
That's right. I agree with you. I think Wilson is that big an impact. And like I made the point earlier, and we got into a debate afterwards, but if you took Tyler Bray off Tennessee, if you took Matt Barkley off USC, they're all still really good teams,
but
they're not anywhere close to as dynamic as they are right now, and they don't have as good a chance to win a lot of the games that they're going to win right now.
Yeah, Tennessee had some defensive problems last year, but they really had a problem when Tyler Bray went out. I mean, and went from a, you know, possibly an 8-win team to whatever they were, what, a 4-win team, and put Derek Dooley on the hot seat. This team, I turned to Chris Bond the other night at halftime, and this is before we knew Wilson was out, and I said, man, where would this team be without Tyler Wilson and Ross Rasner? And the thing about Rasner is he probably couldn't start for most of the upper echelon of the SEC, and yet he's the best player they've got on defense. He was playing out of his mind, and he played out of his mind against Jacksonville State.
Yeah,
he's the best guy out there, and if you take him off the defensive field and you take Tyler Wilson off the offensive field, you really – I mean, it's just a head-scratcher as to how you get in that – spot talent-wise, but if you take Wilson out of the equation this year, if something happens to him that like happened to Tyler Bray for Tennessee, man, Arkansas drops down to a 4-win team.
Let me ask you about the run game, Jim, because and Pat pointed that out earlier. I mean, that's a major issue whether Tyler Wilson's in there or not. And you mentioned the offensive line. Dennis Johnson has 12 carries. He's averaging over 7 yards a carry. His longest run this year is 12 yards. So by my estimation, he's been pretty darn good this year. Nile Davis is averaging under 4 yards a carry. What do you want to see on Saturday? I think we can all agree that the game needs to be shortened in some way for Arkansas, whether Wilson's in there or not. Dennis Johnson may or may not be able to get yards. But talk to me about what you're seeing from the running backs. I think there are a lot of folks who have some real concerns about Nile Davis.
No, I think there's legitimate concern there. And, I mean, Nile's first 10 carries of the season – he averaged over 8 yards a carry, and then since then, I mean, his next, how many, 10 carries, he's averaged probably nothing, or 2 yards a carry. I mean, you think about it, he started out pretty good. He's not back. I mean, there's something missing a little bit there. But also, they're not moving the line of scrimmage. They're not moving defensive players in a direction where he can have any of the openings he had the year he started running, you know, for 180 yards against Ole Miss or 160 against Mississippi State or that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, part of it is a two-way street. I mean, there's not the room there. Dennis Johnson, when he's playing hard, and he has been playing hard, but, I mean, you think back to his games early on as a sophomore and stuff. I mean, he is back probably to that level. I'm not sure he was there last year. Remember, he was coming off a year's injury.
Right.
So I mean, I think he's back. But, you know, that's got to be what they're seeing in practice. I mean, they got to make a coach's decision to either use him more.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets more good outside yardage than anybody right now. I mean, they didn't use Wingo. I heard his name one time.
Yeah, what's going on with that? I mean, Mr. Wheel Route has not been utilized.
Well, yeah, they're not even running the wheel route. I mean, if they don't run the wheel route, what do they need Wingo out there for?
Well, here's
my
deal.
Put him on defense.
Jim, he's got 6 carries. Dennis Johnson has 12. That's a travesty. Dennis Johnson should have 12 carries this week alone, in my opinion.
Well, the travesty for that game, and I know, you know, I mean, at some points, it's not all just the players. I mean, the travesty was the play calling in the second half where mm-hmm. they're putting Brandon Allen in a game that's getting away. You could feel it getting away.
Right.
And putting him under the gun to have to throw over their 10-man in the box thing. I mean, to receivers who aren't getting free. And then not... I mean, not running the football or at least getting sweeps outside on one side or the other. And the fans started noticing. They had a 3rd and 2 that could have given them a critical first down in the fourth quarter. They had Nile Davis on the pitch, and they had 2 guys in front, and he gets 1 yard.
Yeah. It's not good.
I mean, a whole lot of it is how much time in practice do you – spend on the running game. And I remember 2 years ago a lineman told me that it was after the Alabama game and before the A&M game that Bobby Petrino sort of changed the whole deal and began spending almost half the practice on the running game, where he had been spending about a quarter of the practice on the running game. Well, I don't doubt that Paul Petrino, who hasn't been up there now in 2 years till he came back, probably spends most of the offensive practice time, you know, 75% of it's on the passing game. And you just have to adjust that in your, you know, 2 hours a day or your 20 hours a week practice schedule to emphasize that for the linemen, for the quarterbacks, for the running backs. I mean, they're going to have to get up and get in the – I mean, not be soft and get in there and be tough and sort of win battles and move the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, and they're going to do it without their fullbacks, too, which will be interesting.
Well, see, there's another thing. I mean, you know, their best blockers in the backfield are gone.
Yeah. What about defensively? Real quick, Jimmy, we've got about a minute left here. Bend don't break was the philosophy. Bend don't break got broke. So what do you expect to see? Will they be more aggressive against Alabama, try to take some chances and try to, you know, create some opportunities?
If your coaching staff – is playing bend but don't break, that's an admittance of your talent level.
Right.
I mean, the reason they're dropping their secondary off the line that far is because they don't think those guys can keep up with the opposing receivers. No, I mean, if they have to take a little bit of chance against Alabama's run-oriented game and put 8 and 9 in the box at times, but it's the same thing we've seen happening at Alabama in the past. When they get up there like that, Alabama is so good enough to be able to go over the top and beat them. You know, with Norwood, their receivers really look good here at the start of the season. And I'm telling you, A.J. McCarron can run the football game and you know, exploit Arkansas. So it's hard to say, do you gamble and all. The only thing that they don't do well – that Alabama doesn't do well right now is pass from the pocket. And, I mean, they pretty much will probably put pressure on him when he drops back in the pocket, if he even has to do that.
Real quick, Candle in Spa City says, please tell me that Saban did not give us the "we don't have a chance unless we play our best game" crap. Why don't coaches call like it is? We ought to kill Arkansas unless we go there and pull an Arkansas. Go Warhawks. Yikes. Gonna get more of that. Jim, we appreciate it. Hopefully we're talking something positive next week.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it.